the best chance to get her number and see her again. Action tip. Approach a girl today or tomorrow. Use one of the conversation starters from the last section and follow it up by introducing yourself and asking, what are you up to? Part 3. The Guide to Sexy Flirting. What is flirting and why do most men suck at it? Flirting is the way you arouse a girl's interest and make her picture the two of you together romantically. It's essential to your conversations with women. Without it, you'll have platonic conversations and constantly get labeled as the just a friend guy. There are two types of flirting. Friendly flirting and sexual flirting. Friendly flirting is innocent. It's how most men communicate with the women they desire. With sexual flirting, there are sexual undertones. Girls won't mistake this type of flirting as just friend flirting. This is how you should aim to flirt with the women you desire. Here are some examples. Breaking eye contact quickly. This is friendly. Versus looking at her seductively, which is sexual. Saying, what do you like most in a guy? Which is friendly. Versus, what do you find sexiest in a guy? Which is more sexual. The unfortunate thing, or perhaps fortunate for us guys who work in our flirting skills, is that most men suck at flirting. Why? It comes down to three main reasons. Number one, they're too blunt. Bluntness isn't exciting for women. When you're blunt, you leave no room for intrigue. The fun is gone. Here's an example. She says, I love lingerie. You say, I bet you look amazing in lingerie. As you'll see in the next chapter, great flirting is much more subtle. There's more mystery involved, more for the women to guess about. Number two, they're overly direct. Being overly direct also ruins the mystery. Here's an example. She says, yeah, at one point the French colonized Vietnam. And you say, oh really? Well, I'd like to colonize you. Aside from ruining the mystery, being overly direct can also trigger sexual shame in women. I remember one night in a Boston club 4 or 5 years ago, I'd been partying with a very sexy Asian girl and we were hitting it off. The logistics were good, her friends were cool with it, and all signs pointed to us going home together. Then, as we were in line at the coat check, I said something like, I can't wait to get back. I'm going to fuck you so hard later. She seemed into it, but no more than 5 minutes later, she made an excuse as to why she could no longer go home with me. The mood had completely shifted. Why? Because I was way too sexually direct. She could no longer tell herself, I'm just going back with this guy to have fun, and we'll see what happens. Instead, she had to tell herself, I'm going back to have sex with this guy. Sure, maybe she wanted sex at the time, but this was too much for her. She could no longer rationalize her decision, and by going home with me, she likely would have felt wrong or dirty. Number three, they use friendly flirting instead of sexual flirting. Friendly flirting is the easy route. It's innocent and doesn't require much risk. If you try to high-five a girl, she'll usually do it. But if you try to hold hands with her and play with her fingers, well, that's much more bold and risky. Most guys go with friendly flirting. As a result, their interactions lack any sort of sexual undertone. So how can you avoid these mistakes and embrace the art of sexy flirtation? That's what this section is all about. The biggest key to effective flirting. Flirting is an art that few men have mastered. As you'll see throughout this section, there are several aspects of effective flirting. But before you start nailing down those aspects, you must first learn the most important element of flirting. Intent. What were you doing, bro? What was that? My friend had just approached a girl here in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. I was sitting beside him, so I heard the whole thing. Where are you from? He said. Merida. Ah, cool. I heard Merida was a cool city to visit. Yeah, it's a great city to live, and there's tons of tourist stuff, too. Cool. What do you think of it compared to Playa del Carmen? He was clearly attracted to her, but the conversation was painfully platonic. It wasn't so much what he was saying. He was attempting to flirt, but the way he was saying it. Instead of sounding like a man who was sexually interested in her, he sounded like a flimsy tourist. Most guys come across in this very platonic way when they approach or talk to girls. Can you relate? You see, this creates a weird dynamic with the girl. You approach her because you're interested and you even say some of the right things, yet you communicate with her in a friendly, non-sexual way. It's not congruent, and it puts her in an awkward situation. Why is this guy even talking to me? She's thinking. The conversation isn't sexually charged because you're not speaking like a man and communicating with sexual intent. But wait, why should you communicate with sexual intent? Here's why. It destroys any chance of you being in the friend zone. It communicates that you're a sexual guy who goes for what he wants. It's the foundation of building sexual attraction. Women will be a lot more likely to see you again, and it sexually charges your conversations. Put simply, in her mind, it's the difference between being intrigued, like, who is this guy? and being slightly annoyed or bored. Like, why is he talking to me? I need to leave. I took my friend aside to explain this. Look, man, it doesn't matter what you're saying to her. It's the way you say it and the intent behind it. You need to communicate with intent. Think for a second. Why do you even bother approaching girls in the first place? In my friend's case, he approached the girl because he was attracted to her, and yet he communicated with her like a confused tourist. He spoke with no intent. You usually approach a girl because you're attracted to her. There's something about her that you find sexy. But throughout your whole life, you've been programmed to cover up your sexual desires. You've basically been told to hide the fact that you have a dick, thanks to all the crappy advice and political correctness in the media. But you do have a dick, so you should act like you fucking have one. The girl should have no doubt that she's speaking to a sexual man who goes for what he wants. Your intent should come through in all the words you say. Even if you ask, do you know where the nearest Starbucks is? You should subcommunicate something like, I think you're sexy and I want to know more. On the surface, here's what it looks like to communicate with intent. You hold strong eye contact, talk slower, and smile. Below the surface, you're thinking, I might want to fuck this girl and I'm okay if she picks up on this vibe. She's attracted to me and I choose the woman I want in my life. Now this takes some work, but once you can start communicating with intent, your conversations with women will transform. Keep this in mind as we go through the rest of this section. Everything you learn here will help you communicate with intent. Sound good? Alright, now let's move on to the aspects of sexy flirting. Action tip. Communicate with at least 3 women with intent. Subtlety, exaggeration, and becoming the prize. This is a conversation I've had many times over the years. She asked me, how old are you? How old do you think I am? I don't know, 31, 32? I'm 50, but I work out a lot. She laughs, get out of here, you're ridiculous. How old are you really? I'm 25, what about you? What, 25? I'm 31. 31? Wow, you're way too old for me. This would never work. You're just gonna try to take advantage of me and all my innocence. This conversation is a quick back and forth with a lot of flirting involved. And a lot of times, that's what flirting is. It's quick, it's witty, and it's fun. And it's also the direct opposite of the mistakes we talked about in the first chapter of this section. Of being blunt, overly direct, and too friendly. In this chapter, we'll talk about some of the conversational aspects of sexy flirting. Subtlety, exaggeration, and positioning yourself as the prize. These aspects will help you become a master at witty banter. Using subtlety. Think back to the example from a few chapters ago of being overly direct. She says, I love lingerie. Yeah, I bet you look amazing in lingerie. Now let's look at a more subtle way you could do this. She says, I love lingerie. Really? Well, I know it may sound crazy, but I love women who love lingerie. Can you feel the difference in these 2 examples? In both examples, you're saying that you like the girl, but the second is much more subtle. Why? It's all about the implication. There's a difference between explicitly saying that you like a girl or that you want to have sex with her, kiss her, etc., and implying it. The latter is much more exciting to women. With the implication, there's more of a challenge. You show that you're interested in her, but you don't reveal all of your cards. It's enough to keep her around and engaged, but not so much that it ruins the moment. Not only that, but it also shows that you have standards. You're not just blindly attracted to any girl with decent looks and a pretty smile. Whereas, when you're blunt and clumsy with your words, you seem more like a guy who's drooling over her than a high-value guy she should be attracted to. Subtlety and implication are key. Exaggeration. If you're talking to a high-quality woman, she's usually going to try to test you at some point. These tests usually come in the form of verbal jabs. She wants to see how you respond. If you pass, she knows you're confident in yourself and your intentions. The best way to get through these tests, and also to infuse flirting into the conversation, is to agree and exaggerate. This is far better than what most guys do, which is to try and prove themselves. That's because it shows you have a sense of humor and don't take yourself too seriously. Here are some examples of what it looks like to agree and exaggerate. Hey, I'm sure you say that to every girl. Damn it, you're right. Usually they don't catch on though. I must be off my game today. You know I'm not sleeping with you tonight, right? Obviously, sex is always better on the second date anyway. I'm too old for you. Oh, I know. I'm just a boy trying to find his place in this big world. I'm no match for a sexy, mature girl like yourself. Positioning yourself as a prize. Remember the she's into me mindset from the first section of this book? Well, this is basically the verbalization of that mindset. Here, you occasionally insinuate that she's hitting on you or trying to seduce you. You do this by twisting her words and making it seem like she's trying to turn you on. In this way, you position yourself as a prize and position her as a pursuer. Here are a few examples. I love bikinis. Don't try to make me think of you in a bikini. She accidentally grazed your elbow. Are you trying to seduce me, girl? Or you could just say, I live around the corner. We can go back to my place for a drink, but only if you promise not to try anything. Keep in mind, when flirting, it's important to maintain at least a slight smile and good eye contact. This keeps the vibe fun and lets her know that you're being playful. Here's a quick recap of the flirting techniques in this chapter. Using subtlety, exaggeration, and positioning yourself as a prize. Action tip. Use one of these flirting techniques in your next conversation with a girl. How to tease her the right way. Teasing is another conversational key to successful flirting. If you aren't teasing girls the right way, you're probably missing out on a lot of opportunities. What's worse, when you tease her the wrong way, you risk offending her, making her feel insecure, hurting her, and overall causing her to dislike you. These are all things women don't soon forget. She still may laugh at these teases, but it'll sting and she'll probably close up. The problem is, guys have misconceptions about what it means to tease women. Part of this stems from the thinking that you need to be a jerk to attract women, and part of it stems from general social inexperience. But teasing is essential to a flirty, fun conversation that attracts her to you. It's also important for separating you from the pathetic, nice guys who constantly try to kiss her ass and please her. For me, teasing has always been a bit natural. That's because my dad is a comedian and I was lucky enough to attend many of his shows. He works the crowd like Don Rickles and teases everybody. I began to internalize his style and slowly refine it. His delivery of teases is powerful and always draws laughs. You can see a quick clip of my dad's comedy routine. Just go to YouTube and search Crowd Work at the Comedy Connection along with John Parada. With this in mind, let's break down teasing into two steps. Number one, what to avoid, and two, how to tease her the right way. The wrong teasing, what to avoid. Sensitive topics. Don't tease girls about sensitive topics that may offend them. You should inherently know what most of these topics are. Topics like physical features, fashion and style, social skills, intelligence, and family. She'll likely take these types of teases as insults. So you'd want to avoid making jokes like, I can't believe you thought that was true. What's going on in that head up there? This insinuates that she's dumb. And you definitely want to avoid making any sort of jokes about her weight. There's no quicker way to get yourself in the doghouse with a woman. Critiquing her. Don't tease her about things you don't like about her. That's an easy way to come off as passive aggressive. For example, let's say you don't like the fact that she doesn't eat healthy. It'd be kind of a dick thing to say, you look pretty good for someone addicted to sugary foods. Nobody likes hearing that they suck. What's worse, she'll feel like you're judging her. And if you're judging her about one thing, what's to say you're not going to judge her for something like sleeping with you quickly? In short, this is a good way to cockblock yourself and make her feel shitty. Putting her down. You also don't want to make her feel bad for what she likes and dislikes. This puts her in an awkward position because she feels bad for being who she is. And if she can't feel like she can be herself around you, you're as good as done. For example, what's your favorite TV show? And please don't say The Bachelor. Teasing the whole time or being a clown. You should weave teasing into the conversation, but the conversation shouldn't be one long tease. Women will start to question why you're never serious. They'll feel like you're trying to hide something behind your mask of constant humor. Instead, try to strike a balance between teasing and having meaningful conversation. Making fun of yourself. Self-deprecating humor can be funny around your boys, and it might draw a laugh from her, but it usually won't help you get a date. Things like making fun of your weight, your difficulties with women, etc. A lot of comics do this all the time, but when it comes to flirting and teasing women, self-deprecation usually isn't worth the laugh. How to tease her the right way. Now you know what to avoid, but you still need to know what to do right. You can use these techniques to tease women better than the majority of men, and she's going to love you for it. Absurdify. Absurdify is the art of taking a normal topic and making it a little ridiculous. This is a fun and playful way to tease her, and one of my personal go-tos. It also makes the conversation more intriguing because it's less predictable. For example, she says, I'm from Pennsylvania. Nice, I love Pennsylvania. Are you a city girl or did you just come straight out of Amish country? She has to qualify herself as to why she's not from Amish country, which is bound to be a ridiculous and fun conversation. Or hell, maybe she is from Amish country and it's even more interesting then. Bring yourself into it. When you include yourself, it creates a fun, we're in this together type of vibe, which is important for building a connection. My dad does a great job of this in his comedy routine. In the video at the beginning of this chapter we talked about, remember you can search YouTube for John Parada, Crowd Work at the Comedy Connection. Give it another watch and see how he includes himself in all the teases. so both the crowd and the people he's teasing can feel good and get a laugh. And here's a conversational example. Oh, so you're a psych major? You're probably reading my mind right now, aren't you? I'm onto you. Stereotype her in a fun way. Here, you basically play off the stereotypes of something she tells you. For example, oh, you're a country girl? So what do you do when you're not square dancing or listening to Chicken Fried? A Boston girl, huh? So you're not familiar with the letter R. Challenge her. You can challenge her with something like a thumb wrestle. If you're on the dance floor, you can give her a playful hip bump, then step back and jokingly challenge her to a dance-off. This is a great way to attract women at the nightclub. Mock her. This is especially great if she has an accent and or says a word particularly weird. You can exaggerate your accent or mimic the particular word. For example, a lot of Spanish-speaking girls have trouble saying the I in words like pill, give, and pick. They pronounce it like an E, i.e. like pill is peel. So I always have a good time mocking their pronunciation of these words, especially because I live in Mexico. Playfully disagree with her about something and turn your back. For example, I can't believe you don't watch Game of Thrones. We can't be friends anymore. And then turn your back and pretend to walk away for a few steps. Accuse her of hitting on you. This is funny, but it also reverses the roles. She's used to being the prize, but when you accuse her of hitting on you, you flip the script. Now she's the one trying to seduce you. For example, are you hitting on me right now? I see what you're trying to do, but I'm not that easy. I saw you checking me out over there. I'm not a piece of meat, you know. Or, okay, we can go back to my place, but only if you promise not to try anything. Teasing is all about being self-amused and lighthearted. You should be enjoying yourself and not aiming to impress her with the quality of your jokes. Teasing should help you connect with her and also express your personality. One more note, though. Don't be afraid to straddle the line with the occasional crude joke or sexual innuendo. It's okay to take risks, and fortune favors the bold. Action tip. Choose at least one of these teasing techniques and use it in your next conversation with the girl. It's okay if you mess it up the first few times. It takes a little practice. Flirting without your words. You've learned how to flirt with your words, but that's not all that goes on in a conversation. There's always a nonverbal level, and if you don't know how to communicate on that level, your flirting will fall flat. So, what goes on in that nonverbal level? How do you master it? That's what this chapter is all about. We'll go through each level of nonverbal flirting so you can make your flirting sexy. Let's get started. Sexy eye contact. We've covered eye contact a bit already in this book, but here are a few ways you can use it for sexy flirting. The triangle gazing routine. You look at her eyes, then down to her mouth, then back up to her eyes in a triangle formation. This is a great way to show interest in her. Bedroom eyes. Lower your eyelids and have a sort of dreamy expression. This is easiest when you focus on what you like about her. When you're basking in her feminine energy and beauty, it's easy to have this sort of dreamy, satisfied look. Move your eyes slowly. Avoid darting your eyes back and forth. When you move your eyes, move them slowly. This conveys more confidence and control. Match her gaze. When she's speaking, you should be looking into her eyes about 90 to 95% of the time. Only look away when she's looking away. Sometimes girls will make less eye contact because they're nervous or simply uncomfortable with eye contact. In this case, you should look away about 25% of the time that she looks away. The more you interact with women and practice these eye contact techniques, the more comfortable and better you'll be with sexy eye contact. So give these a try. Close proximity. How close are you when you flirt with women? As a general rule, the closer, the better. You see, as you decrease the distance between you, the level of intention and intimacy increases. So, how do you close the proximity? There are a few easy ways to do this. Always sit next to her on a date. When you're having drinks with her for a date, always aim to sit at the bar with her. This way, you can sit next to her rather than across from her. Talk in her ear and bounce out. This is key, especially in loud venues. Lean in and speak into her ear while lightly touching her elbow. Then, when you're done talking, bounce out to hear her response. In doing so, you close the proximity, but also give her room to breathe. Then, the next time you lean in to talk in her ear, it's even more powerful. Face her head on instead of at an angle. When you face her head on, it's more intimate and flirtatious. Physical touch. Physical touch is crucial to making a connection, and it's also crucial to sexy flirting. You should be touching her early and often. According to Courtship Compliance, The Effect of Touch on Women's Behavior by Nicholas Gugin, touch increases a woman's compliance to a man's request. It was found that women are more likely to give their number out to men who touch them. Not only that, but also women viewed men who touch them as more dominant, which, as you'll see soon, is a very important trait. But you need to use physical touch the right way. Here's how. Touch her in the right places. The best places to touch her are her elbow, upper arm, and the small of her back. You can touch her elbow and upper arm when you're joking with her in conversation or leaning in to speak into her ear. And you can touch the small of her back when you're showing her something with your hand or leading her, i.e., you know, walking with her to the bar. Touch her early in the conversation. The easiest way to do this is with a handshake and an introduction. By touching her immediately, you set a flirtatious tone for the conversation. You've broken the physical barrier. Touch her at high points. For example, touch her when the two of you are laughing or when she's agreeing with you. That way, she'll associate positive feelings with your touch. Don't draw attention to the touch. I once coached a guy who would look at his hand every time he touched a girl, or even so much as went in for a handshake. It freaked women out because it seemed so unnatural. Whatever you do, make sure you don't look at your hand when you touch her. Make sure you have close proximity. There are a few things more awkward than reaching out a few feet to touch a girl. The closer you are, the better. Hold her hand when walking through a crowd. For example, let's say you're at the bar with her and you want to go for a drink. Let's go for a drink at the bar. Then take her hand and lead her through the crowd. Ask about her jewelry. Let's say you notice she has some cool jewelry on her wrist. You can lightly take her hand and ask her the meaning of the jewelry. Alright, so to recap, here are the three keys to sexy nonverbal flirting. Number one, sexy eye contact. Number two, close proximity. And number three, physical touch. When you combine these nonverbal techniques with the verbal techniques, you'll be flirting like a Casanova. Action tip. Use at least one of these nonverbal flirting techniques in your next conversation with a woman. Part 4. Connect. Get her talking. You now have a basic framework for getting through your fear of approaching new women, starting a conversation, making a great first impression, flirting, and continuing the conversation and getting her number. These elements are great, especially for shorter conversations. But what about when you're on a date, at the bar, or even in a relationship? You need to know how to have longer conversations and connect with women on a deeper level. And to do that, you need to get her talking. You see, the more she talks about herself, the more she'll feel connected to you. In this section, you'll learn how to do exactly that. Get past small talk and get her talking about herself. Let's get started. How to get past small talk and connect with her. Small talk. It's the barren wasteland of conversation that seems so hard to get past. When you're in small talk, you're basically treading water. You're staying afloat, but you're not getting anywhere. Even if you start the conversation well, you still need to get to know the other person. You still need to get beyond the basic stuff like where they're from and what they think of the weather. You need to stir up some emotions. But this can seem like a daunting task, and that task can seem even more daunting when your conversational counterpart is a beautiful woman. Your mind either draws a blank or starts running a million miles per minute. What do I say? What if she thinks I'm stupid? What if she gets bored? That's when you fall into interview mode, where you're asking basic questions that require a one or two word answer. The result? The conversation stalls out, and then you beat yourself up over it. Here's what happens when you constantly engage in small talk. Women will flake on you a lot. Women won't remember you. Women won't feel like they know you, and worse, they won't feel like you understand them. If this sounds familiar to you, don't sweat it. It happens to every guy at one point or another, but there's an easier way to make the conversation flow, and it doesn't require you to employ a bunch of intricate conversation tricks. Hell, you don't even have to talk that much. In fact, if you're doing it right, the girl will be talking more than you. So, how can you beat small talk, make the conversation flow, and build a connection? It's a combination of the following. Asking the right questions, listening and relating, and avoiding common conversation mistakes. We'll cover each one in this chapter. Asking the right questions. A few simple, pointed questions can draw her interest, open the conversation, and help you plow past small talk. Think about it. When you're in interview mode, she doesn't even have to think. She can basically respond on autopilot because she's had the same type of conversation hundreds of times. But when you ask the right questions, you cause a pattern interrupt. All of a sudden, she has to think. She has to ponder her motivations and actually feel things. Beyond that, You also allow her to talk about herself, her passions, and her motivations. This instantly breaks you out of small talk. I'll give you some powerful and simple questions to point you in the right direction, but more importantly, you learn how to structure your questions so that you can further the conversation instead of lead it to a dead end of awkward silence. If you do this right, you'll be able to transform women from being cold and closed off to warm and open. Side note here though, these questions, along with the question structure, are relevant to any conversation, whether you're chatting with a hottie at the bar, a networking event, or any random situations you find yourself in. Why questions are important. This is counterintuitive, but when you prompt people to tell you about themselves, they actually perceive you as more interesting, even if they barely know anything about you. Scientists have found that talking about ourselves activates the same pleasure centers of the brain that are associated with food and money. And the best way to prompt people to do so is to ask the right questions. Questions that allow the other person to open up to you and talk about the stuff they really care about. By asking the right questions and taking the time to listen to their responses, you'll get paid back tenfold. People will undoubtedly reciprocate and show a lot of interest in your life too. How to structure your questions. There are two main types of questions we'll deal with here. Short answer questions and open-ended questions. Short answer questions. Ask too many of these types of questions in a row, and you'll find yourself deep in interview mode, on a conversational path that leads to absolutely nowhere. These are the questions that only require a one-word response, like, where do you go to school? What do? Where are you from? Now, it's okay to ask these types of questions, especially at the beginning of the conversation. In fact, it's almost necessary. But unless you follow up with open-ended questions, the conversation is going to fall flat. Open-ended questions. These questions require a deeper and more extended response, more than yes or no or one word. These are your money questions. If you can master these, you'll be able to open up almost any conversation. Here's how you can mix these in with short answer questions. What do you do? That's a short answer question. She says, I'm a lawyer. You say, cool. How did you get into that? Open-ended question. Well, my dad was a lawyer, and ever since I was a kid, I blah, blah, blah. Oh, wow, that's awesome. What do you like about it? Another open-ended question. Well, I really like helping people, and the key with open-ended questions is that you need to dig a little deeper. For example, instead of asking, did you like it, ask, what did you like about it? And remember, you need to balance short answer questions with open-ended questions. Here are some powerful open-ended questions to ask. What do you like about your job? What was it like growing up there, where they grew up? If you could wake up anywhere in the world tomorrow, where would it be? What's your dream job? Why are you doing X instead of Y? Listening and relating. Questions are important, but you shouldn't just rattle question after question at her, even if they're good, open-ended questions. This is a big mistake guys make. Instead of actively listening to a woman, they nod along with a blank stare or wait for her to shut up so they can say what they want. When you don't actively listen, it makes the girl feel like you don't understand her. In fact, she feels like you don't even really care. So what should you do instead? When she's telling you about herself, actively listen to her and relate back to her responses. Provide some sort of feedback, even if it's as simple as repeating back what she said. For example, let's say that she tells you about how she loved studying abroad in Spain. You could respond with something like, that's awesome that you lived in Spain. I've been learning Spanish. Spain is on my list of places to go. She might say, that's great. I definitely recommend it. To which you could say, great. So what made you want to live in Spain? This shows that you listen and you get it, and also allows her to reveal her motivations to you, which is a strong emotional topic. Plus, it shows that you're interested in her as well. This eases the social pressure and makes her feel like you're on her side. Here's another example. What do you do? I'm an architect. Ah, that's awesome. One of my favorite parts of walking to NYC is looking at the beautiful architecture. It's crazy how the city is filled with so many beautiful buildings. You must get some inspiration from them, right? Yeah, the buildings here are awesome. For sure. So tell me, what made you want to get into architecture? Well, I've always loved creating things. Ever since I was a kid, I dreamed of designing a building that would be part of the NYC skyline. Oh yeah? It sounds like you're doing something you're really passionate about. So what kind of building would it be? Avoiding common conversation mistakes. The more you get past small talk, the more risks you will take in conversations and the more potential mistakes you'll be exposed to. That's why I'm going to highlight a few mistakes for you to be aware of. These mistakes will make you come across as an asshole and or make the girl feel like you don't get her. And so I'd like to help you avoid them. These mistakes are all based on a psychological concept known as the other. What is the other? Well, do you ever feel like there are people who get you and then there's everybody else? You know, people who just understand you and your lifestyle, and then the people who can't even begin to relate to you. That's what I mean by the other. You see, we have a tendency to view everything in the world, including other human beings, as being either the same as ourselves or other, i.e. with us or against us. And rightfully so, this same versus other concept protects us from potential threats and helps us stick with the people who understand us best and are most likely to support us. But when it comes to seducing and connecting with women, it's where many guys destroy their chances. That's because many guys are great at positioning themselves as the other and not very good at showing how they are the same. But in order to emotionally connect with women, you need to help women see you as the same as them. So the goal of highlighting these mistakes is to help you stop doing things that make women view you as the other so you can make connections with them. Mistake number one, stating contentious opinions. Let's say you love to meditate. You're on a date with a girl and she says, "You know what I can't stand? People who meditate. They just sit there doing nothing and claim that it clears their mind. What a waste of time." How would you feel? Probably much less connected to her, right? This is exactly what you want to avoid doing to her. There's really no reason for stating contentious opinions, and it only puts you at risk of ruining the connection. Solution number one, be non-judgmental and focus on commonalities. When you're trying to connect with a girl, it's best to avoid arguments and contention. These will put you in the other category faster than anything else. If you hate 9-to-5 jobs and cubicles, but she works at a desk job that she enjoys, it's probably not a great idea to go on about how much you despise conventional jobs. Trust me, I've made this mistake many times. Instead, focus on things you can easily relate to each other on, like interests and hobbies. For example, maybe you both like to travel, read, or have a favorite Netflix show in common. Nope. It is okay to disagree with girls without being contentious, just avoid making it a big deal and a major part of the conversation. Mistake number two, getting married to one conversation topic. You know that feeling when you're done talking about something, but your conversation counterpart keeps bringing it back up? It's like, bro, I know you like working out, but I don't want to talk about the nuances of deadlifts for 3 hours. Every conversation topic has a lifespan, and if you try to milk the topic past its lifespan, you'll annoy people and turn women off. You may be tempted to do this because you'll naturally be more comfortable with certain conversation topics. For example, if you enjoy working out, you'll be comfortable talking about lifting weights. But you can't allow yourself to keep falling back to this topic. You must keep the conversation flowing and evolving. Solution number two, weave in multiple topics. A rich conversation weaves through multiple topics. It's okay to change the subject even if you haven't said everything you feel like you need to say about a topic. But when you keep reverting back to a conversation topic, it signals to women that you have a low social intelligence and also that you're not a very well-rounded man. If you feel like you want to keep coming back to a dead topic, stop yourself and ask a good question to push the conversation forward, like, what are you passionate about? It's also important to keep the conversation focused on more emotional topics. Here are some emotional topics for you to dive into. Her dreams, her experiences, what she loves to do, what she is passionate about, and what her motivations are. And we're going to talk more about these emotional conversation topics in the next chapter. Mistake number three, talking too much about yourself. A friend told me she went on a Tinder date the other day with a doctor. He was handsome, successful, and rich. Everything a woman wants, right? But within an hour, she had her friend call her and give the sick grandma excuse so she could escape this terrible date. And by the way, the sick grandma excuse is when a girl has her friend call her like 30 minutes to an hour into a date. If she's having fun, she'll hang up and stay on the date. If she's not, she'll say, "My mom just called, my grandma's sick, and I have to go see her." So what happened with this guy? The guy ranted and raved about himself, his success, and his importance. She felt like she couldn't be herself around him, like he was constantly judging her. He positioned himself as the other right from the beginning, and it killed any attraction and hope for a connection. Solution number three. Focus the conversation on the girl. You don't have to say that much about yourself, especially in your first conversation. In fact, you can tell her very little while having her open up and tell her almost everything about herself. Remember, talking about ourselves activates the same pleasure centers of the brain that are associated with food and money. The more she talks about herself, the more connected she'll feel to you. Action tip number one. Write down 5 open-ended questions. Focus them around emotional topics like we talked about before. For example, what are you passionate about? Action tip number 2. Write down the conversation mistake from the list above that you feel like you're most guilty of. This will help you be more aware of it and avoid it in the future. 5 go-to conversation topics for connecting. Remember, the more she talks about herself, the more connected she'll feel to you. And in order to truly get her to talk about herself, you need to infuse emotional topics into the conversation. Sure, it's nice to talk about the new club downtown or how it sucks when it's raining outside, but those are conversations she can have with anyone. You want to move to topics that aren't universally relatable for everyone. That's how real connections are formed, and that's what this chapter is all about. Note, it's best to weave these topics into conversation. Don't formulaically cycle through them like a robot. Allow the conversation to flow and evolve. Also, try to relate back to her responses with something relevant from your own life. This shows her that you get her and that you're actually interested in paying attention. With this in mind, here are 5 go-to conversation topics that make it easy to talk and connect with women. Number 1, her experiences. Perhaps you've both gone scuba diving or traveled to Vietnam. Or perhaps she quit her job and moved to a beach town to become a whale shark tour guide. We've all had memorable experiences, good and bad, uplifting and scary. Experiences are tied to emotions. We're always feeling stuff when we go through them. That's why they're such a great topic. They can lead to amazing stories and tons of emotions, as well as unique ways to relate to each other. Here are some questions that can get you to this topic. What made you want to come to the city? What was your last big adventure? Where is your favorite place you've traveled? Once you get her talking about this, you can dive deeper and ask questions like, how did it feel when you did X? What was it like to do X? When you ask these types of questions, you'll tap into the emotions she felt when she had those experiences. Number 2, her dreams. What does she really want to do with her life? What are her biggest aspirations? Everybody thinks about their dreams, but not everybody gets to talk about those dreams. That's because most people never think to ask them. But given the opportunity, most people would love to talk about their dreams and aspirations. That's why it brings up all sorts of good and hopeful emotions. Here are some questions that can get you to this topic. What's something you've always wanted to do? What's something you want to achieve this year? Once you get her talking about this, you can dive deeper and ask questions like, how would it feel to do that? How would your life change if you could accomplish that? Number 3, what she loves to do. What do you love to do? Think about it for a minute. No, really, do it right now. You got it? All right, good. How did it feel? You probably pictured yourself doing those things and you probably felt similar emotions as when you did them, right? For me, I love performing on stage. Every time I think about it, I picture my past performances where there was huge crowds cheering for me and I was killing it. It brings up feelings of excitement. When women talk about the things they love to do, the same thing happens. They feel those good emotions and they associate those good emotions to being around you. Here are some questions that can get you to this topic. What do you absolutely love to do? What kind of activities set you on fire and get you excited? What kind of things make you laugh the hardest? Once you get her talking about this, you can dive deeper and ask questions like, what do you love about X? How do you feel when you do X? Number 4, her passions. What passions drive her? Maybe she loves traveling, or perhaps she's extremely passionate about volunteering. Her passions are another highly emotional topic. People love talking about them. What's more, a woman's passions can tell you a lot about her, as well as give you a glimpse into whether you're a good fit for each other. You may find that you have similar passions, which makes it very easy to relate and connect with her. Here's a question that can get you to this topic. What are you most passionate about? Once you get her talking about this, you can dive deeper and ask questions like, what makes you passionate about X? How do you feel when you're following that passion? Number 5, her motivations. Why does she want the things she wants? What are her true motivations? Most men never dig this deep. They ask questions like, what do you do? She responds with something like, oh, I'm a lawyer. He follows up with, cool, do you like it? To which she responds, it's okay, and what about you? That's the foundation of a boring, polite, and platonic conversation. And that's exactly what you don't want. Instead, try to figure out exactly why she wants the things she wants. When you do this from a place of curiosity, it shows that you're interested and not afraid to dive a little deeper. It's quite the pattern interrupt, but that's a good thing. Here are some questions that can get you to this topic. What made you want to get into that, if she's discussing your career or college major? What made you do that, if she's discussing a story or a choice she's made? Once you get her talking about this, you can dive deeper and ask questions like, now that you're doing X, how do you feel about it? Why did you want to accomplish X? The more you dive into these kinds of emotional topics, the easier it'll be to connect with women. You'll stop having polite, just friends conversations. What's more, you'll start sparking attraction with your words and find that a lot more women are into you. So, use these with caution and break them out when you genuinely want to connect with women. Action tip. Choose at least one of these conversation topics and use them in your next conversation with a woman. Part 5. Captivate. How to talk about yourself in an attractive way. So, you know all this about me. I want to know more about you, she tells you. Well, what do you want to know? You say with a sly smile. I don't know. What do you do? What's your story? She responds. Well, what are you going to say? How are you going to talk about yourself? While it's best to get her talking about herself, as well as create a fun, flirty conversation, at some point she'll want to know about you. Whether she asks you for your story, or you relate things about your life throughout the conversation, you need to know how to talk about yourself in an attractive way. But most men do this all wrong. How? In a few ways. First, they focus on facts and stats over emotions. They say things like, well, I've been to 5 countries, I have this car, I run a successful business, I'm a doctor, etc. All of these things sound nice, impressive even. But there's one big problem. Women don't connect with stats and facts. They connect with emotions. And the way to communicate emotionally is to tell better stories and communicate good qualities. But most men also tell terrible stories. They infuse their stories with humble brags and don't talk about the emotions involved. Instead, they just convey the facts and talk about what happened. What's worse, they don't involve the other person in the story at all. They talk at the woman the whole time instead of with her. But even when men do tell good stories, they struggle to convey the right qualities about themselves. You see, one of the keys to talking about yourself is to convey attractive qualities. If you don't know the right qualities to convey and how to convey them, you risk killing the connection and making dumb mistakes. Speaking of mistakes, the other big one men make when talking about themselves is that they give away too much too quickly. You don't need to be a completely open book, especially when you just meet somebody. We've all met that person who seems to give it all up right away. They go into their life story without even being prompted. It's annoying, right? It's better to hold a little back and be intriguing. Okay, how's all this sound? At this point, you may be a little overwhelmed. Shit, I'm making a lot of these mistakes right now, you may be thinking. That's alright though. That's why you have this book, to learn how to avoid the common mistakes and communicate more effectively and attractively. And that's what you're going to learn throughout this chapter and this section. When you talk about yourself in an attractive way, you can literally flip the attraction switch in a woman's mind. If she wasn't into you before, you can open her up to the idea of being with you. And if she was already interested in you, you can keep building that interest to the point where she's open to taking the next step with you. You know, perhaps leaving the bar and going home with you. So, how do you talk about yourself in an attractive way? There are a few elements to this. The first one, understand the purpose of talking about yourself. Number 2, highlight sexy qualities about yourself. Number 3, bait her. Number 4, follow the proper etiquette. We'll go into each of these 4 elements so you can start talking about yourself in an attractive way. Number 1, understand the purpose of talking about yourself. The purpose is actually quite simple, to quickly excite and intrigue her and then turn the conversation back over to her. You're not trying to tell your life stories or convince her why you're the perfect man for her. You're not trying to list out all of your impressive accolades. Just excite her, intrigue her, and get her talking about herself again. That's all you want to do here. Step number 2, highlight sexy qualities about yourself. How do you excite and intrigue her? It starts by highlighting the right qualities about yourself. Most men think that women are attracted to a good job, lots of money, and good looks. While these things are good to have, they aren't at the root of attraction. In other words, they aren't enough. Just ask the guy who worked his whole life to make a lot of money, assuming that women would love him for it, only to realize later that having a lot of money doesn't do the trick. Trust me, I know guys exactly like this, and it's very sad. So when you try to convey these qualities in conversation, you just seem like you're trying to impress the girl. But what qualities are women attracted to? A study by the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology titled Dominance, Pro-Social Orientation, and Female Preferences, Do Nice Guys Really Finish Last? Found that dominance and pro-social behavior are two of the biggest qualities that attract women to men. So, why dominance and pro-social behavior? I'll explain what that even means in a minute. But first, let's start with dominance. Think about how a stereotypical nice guy interacts with women. He puts women on a pedestal, waits for overwhelming signs of attraction before making a move, and doesn't get laid all that much, if at all. For women, being with this kind of man is a chore. Now, think of how a dominant man acts. Women are not a scarce resource for him, so he doesn't put them on a pedestal. He knows what he wants in life and goes for it unapologetically. What's more, women don't have to worry about much when they're with a dominant man. They can relax, knowing that he'll do the leading and make her feel good emotions. Dominance, then, is an indicator that a guy is successful with women and has control of his life. And so, it is very attractive to women. So, how can you convey dominance in conversation? Here are some examples you could talk about. A time where you achieved something you once thought was impossible. How you took charge of a situation even though you were unsure of the outcome. A time when you successfully led a group of people. Here's a quick example. I love creating art, but everybody told me, you can never succeed in that profession. It's a poor man's game. This only motivated me more. I wanted to prove everybody wrong and make it happen. So I buckled down and kept improving my painting skills, and I read a few books about marketing. Within 2 months, I had sold my first painting for a nice sum, and all those haters had nothing to say. Now, let's go over pro-social behavior. Pro-social behaviors are those intended to help other people. When you're pro-social, you're concerned about the rights, feelings, and welfare of other people. Some behaviors you'd associate with pro-social behavior are feeling empathy, as well as acting in altruistic ways that benefit other people. Again, let's look at this through a nice guy lens. The typical nice guy is a little bitter towards women. Most of his actions are meant to get something from other people, especially women, without much of a care of how those other people feel. And so, he's not very pro-social. Now, let's look at a pro-social man. This guy communicates with people with ease, has a big social circle, is well-connected, and genuinely cares about people. He doesn't do altruistic things with an ulterior motive. He does them as an end in themselves. And so, pro-social behavior indicates that a man is social, successful with women, and has abundance in his life, both with women and with money. So, how can you convey pro-social behavior in conversation? Here are some examples you could talk about. A time where you helped somebody less fortunate. A time where you hung out with a group of friends and had fun. A time where you helped a friend accomplish something. Here's a quick example. Living in Medellin, Colombia was a ton of fun. We had some awesome parties and met tons of cool people, but one of the most memorable parts was taking a trip up to the poorest section of the city and handing out shoes to the little kids. Have you ever done volunteer work, by the way? This was my first time. Anyway, these kids either had no shoes or extremely beaten up shoes. So, seeing the looks on their faces when we handed them some brand new shoes was amazing. The whole experience really put everything into perspective. So, dominance and pro-social behavior. If you can convey these qualities, you can come off very attractive to women. Aside from these two main qualities, there are some secondary qualities you should highlight as well. Adventurousness. Women love spontaneous men. They want the kind of guy who's going to make them feel alive, challenge them, and excite them. Not the kind of guy they can easily predict. Appreciation of beauty. Men who appreciate beauty usually genuinely love women. What's more, they also tend to enjoy good sex. Vulnerability. People aren't perfect. Women appreciate men who can be vulnerable about some of their fears and shortcomings, rather than men who pretend to be perfect. Step number 3. Bait her. When it comes to talking about yourself, it's always more powerful when she asks you about something than when you straight up tell her. People value what they have to work for much more than what they are freely given. That's where baiting comes into play. Baiting causes women to put effort into finding out who you are, and it also makes you come off as deeper and more mysterious. We're going to discuss 3 specific forms of baiting. You want to infuse all of these into your conversations. Baiting technique number 1. Make an intriguing statement. Let's say a girl asks what you do. You could say, I'm a stockbroker downtown. I also enjoy cooking. Alright, that's fine, but it doesn't give her much to work with. Plus, it paints you as a bit of a boring, typical guy. Now, let's look at how you can answer this in a more intriguing way. When she asks what you do, you can say, I'm a bit of a chef, but during the day I analyze businesses. This is short on details and it gives her a lot to work with. She'll be curious about what you mean by being a bit of a chef, as well as what you mean by analyze businesses. This will instantly make you appear more mysterious and intriguing. Here's another example. Let's say she asks you what you like to do. You could say, I like reading books and learning in general. Again, a bit of a boring statement. Now, let's add some baiting into it. I love learning and improving. I feel like if you're not stretching your comfort zone and feeling a little stupid some of the time, you're not really living. Now she's thinking, what does he mean by learning? And how has he stretched his comfort zone? She'll want to dig deeper and learn more about you. Baiting technique number two, reciprocity. In his groundbreaking book, Influence, author Robert Cialdini discusses the six key influence tactics of psychology and persuasion. One of the most powerful of those tactics is reciprocity. What is reciprocity? Well, as humans, we generally aim to return favors and pay people back when they've given us something. We have the strong urge to reciprocate. For example, have you ever asked to sample more than a couple of flavors at an ice cream shop? After you sampled a few, do you feel compelled to buy something, even if you don't really have the strong urge to eat any more ice cream? That's reciprocity in action. And it happens to me all the time. You can use this reciprocity tactic to bait her in conversations. How? When you dive deep on a particular topic about her life, she'll feel compelled to ask you about the same topic. For example, let's say you've used the question structure from part three, and she's told you about her career, what made her get into it, what she likes about it, etc. Maybe the two of you have spent 3 to 5 minutes or more discussing it. She's going to feel a lot of social pressure to reciprocate and ask what you do. At that point, you can use the first baiting technique to keep her intrigued and interested. For example, let's say you've used the question structure from part four, and she's told you about her career, what made her get into it, what she likes about it, etc. Maybe the two of you have spent 3 to 5 minutes or more discussing it. She's going to feel a lot of social pressure to reciprocate and ask what you do. At that point, you can use the first baiting technique to keep her intrigued and interested. Baiting technique number three, the open loop. Have you ever watched the hit series Game of Thrones? They end every episode with a huge open loop that gets you excited and interested in the next episode or the next season. That open loop stays in the back of your mind all week until the next episode airs. It's powerful stuff. You can also use these open loops in your conversations. For example, let's say she's talking about travel. I traveled abroad in Spain when I was in college. It was a great experience. And you could say, Spain is one of my favorite countries. What do you think about the culture? It was amazing. So much different than here. The tapas were incredible and the people were so stylish. What do you think of Spain? And what other countries have you been to? Can you spot the open loop in this example? If you missed it, here it is. Spain is one of my favorite countries. What do you think about the culture? By telling her Spain is one of your favorite countries, you indirectly signal that you've been to other countries and you have the quality of adventurousness. But then you continue on with an open-ended question. You've created an open loop in her mind because she'll be curious about what other countries you've been to. And by following it up with an open-ended question about her, you do it in a socially savvy way. If you just said, Spain is one of my favorite countries, you'd signal, yeah, look at how cool I am. I travel so much. But instead, you put the open loop in as kind of a throwaway detail on your way to discovering more about her. You don't focus on it, and so it doesn't come across like you're trying to impress her. And yet, it still plants the question in her mind. What other countries has he been to? And lays the groundwork for a deeper conversation. Step four, follow the proper etiquette. It's not enough to know how to highlight the right qualities about yourself and bait women. You must also follow the proper etiquette for talking about yourself. Otherwise, you risk talking about yourself too much, coming across as unattainable and damaging the connection. In terms of talk about yourself etiquette, there are three rules you should follow. Rule number one, don't make the conversation all about you. Remember, the more she talks about herself, the more connected she'll feel to you. So she doesn't need to know that much about you to feel like she's connected to you. With this in mind, you shouldn't be talking about yourself for the majority of the conversation. In fact, you should keep it to a minimum. That way, she's the one talking about herself, qualifying herself to you, and really putting most of the effort in. All while you sit back, make some intriguing statements, tell a few pointed stories, and let the conversation flow. How can you do this? After talking about yourself briefly, turn the conversation back over to her. You can do this in a number of ways. Asking her the same questions she asked you. If you've just told her what you do, you can ask what she does. Include her in the conversation by infusing questions about your topic. If you're telling her a story about snorkeling, you could say something like, I love snorkeling. Have you ever tried it? To which she may launch into a tale about how she loves snorkeling too. Ask her a random question. You can use this as your backup plan if you feel like the conversation topic has dried up. You simply ask her a random question like, where have you traveled to? Here's an example of turning the conversation back to her smoothly. She asks you, how do you end up starting your own fitness blog? It's a long story, but after I finished college, I was pretty out of shape. One of the guys I worked with was passionate about fitness, and he got me into it. It completely enthralled me. I ended up quitting my office job to become a personal trainer. Then I thought, how can I help more people get in shape rather than just a few clients a day? That's why I started up my fitness blog a few years ago, to reach as many people as possible. It took me a while to build traction, and a lot of people doubted me. At one point, when my money was low, I even considered quitting and going back to a regular job. But I kept at it, and eventually, I managed to get published on a few big sites. From there, it kept growing. Oh, that's so interesting. I guess it just seems like such a long journey when I think back to it. What about you, though? You said you wanted to get into photography after college, but it never happened. What stopped you from pursuing that dream? Here, you've built an interesting picture of yourself and made her curious. You haven't divulged all the details, plus you've given her a chance to talk even more about herself. Rule number 2, paint yourself as more than an ordinary guy. Average is boring. Women like men who succeed in the face of adversity, overcome obstacles, and have purpose. So when you're talking about yourself, you want to convey these things. How? Think back to the previous example about the fitness blog. How did he tell that story? If you dissect it, you'll notice he followed this structure. Number 1, he started by talking about himself when he was younger and a goal that he had, but wasn't sure how to accomplish. 2, he mentioned a few obstacles along his way to success. 3, he talked about how he began to finally see some success. And 4, he talked about his ultimate success, which is getting published on bigger sites and growing his blog. If you can use this talk about yourself structure, you'll come across as much more than an average guy. Or you can use this structure for shorter term things, like the time you got a promotion, succeeded in a performance, etc. The point is to show that you're the type of guy who doesn't shrink in the face of adversity. You rise to the challenge and overcome instead of giving up prematurely. Rule number 3, be relatable. On the other side of the coin, you don't want to position yourself as too extraordinary because that will turn a lot of women off. Think about it. Most women you talk to will be normal people, barring any run-ins with big-time celebrities. So if you come across as, you know, holier than thou, they won't be able to relate to you. You need to show that you're human as well. How can you do that? Don't paint yourself as perfect. Instead, poke some fun at your mistakes and show that you struggle to get to your successes despite your failures. It wasn't all rainbows and unicorns. You can also add in some lighthearted playfulness. For example, going back to the fitness guy blog, he could have joked, hell, back in college, I barely even knew what a dumbbell was. Okay, so there you have it. You now know what to do to talk about yourself in an attractive way. To recap, step number 1, understand the purpose of talking about yourself. Step number 2, highlight sexy qualities about yourself. Step number 3, bait her. Step number 4, follow the proper etiquette. But how do you put all this together and infuse it into your conversations? One of the best ways to do it is through storytelling. Luckily, you're about to learn how to tell a kick-ass story that hooks her in. How to tell a kick-ass story that hooks her in. As a precursor to this chapter, so it's less confusing, I'm gonna be telling you a story and then also weaving in how to tell a story. Keep that in mind as you go throughout the chapter. Let's get started. The music bumped and the ground shook below me. I looked around in awe. I had just stepped into my first nightclub in Asia after nearly 30 hours of travel, and I was scared. I was with some of the guys from the entrepreneur group there. My friend had introduced me to them over some drinks and hookah earlier in the night, but that didn't do much to ease my comfort level. Sure, I love nightlife, but this was a whole different beast. I was sleep deprived and surrounded by unfamiliar faces. What's worse, I was thinking of the girl I had just left behind in Boston, Natalie. I never liked the girl as much as I liked her. We had an amazing 2 months together, but I had to leave her to embark on this journey all the way across the globe to Vietnam. Have you ever had to leave a girl prematurely like this? Maybe you know the feeling. As I stood for a second, lost in thought, one of the guys from the entrepreneur group interrupted. Let's go approach some girls, bro. He was a hyper 18-year-old dude who was already successful in business. I was not in the mood to approach girls, but he wouldn't take no for an answer. After a few attempted conversations, I escaped to the bathroom. I walked back out to the dance floor, looked around one more time, and broke into a sweat. The weird Asian electronic music, the crazy environment, the foreign languages, it was all too much, too fast. I couldn't take it. We communicate best through stories. Stories are what hook us in and make us feel things. And if you think about it, storytelling is key for most things involving people. Whether it's teaching, writing, speaking, selling, leading, or attracting women. A good story snaps people out of their boredom and captivates them. But good storytelling, that's hard to do, and very few people ever practice the skill. By the end of this chapter, though, you'll have all the tools you need to tell great stories. So, what is good storytelling? Well, the telling part and the story part are two different beasts.